Log Talk Radio.
Saturday, August 11th, 2018, you are listening to the PW Torch Livecast, a.k.a. on Saturdays, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. Joining me this week is Bree, a.k.a. at She's So Offbeat. We're going to be talking a lot of stuff. We're going to be talking G1. We're going to be talking Mae Young. And most importantly, we're going to be talking to you. So give us a call, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. One warning, Deep Dive tries to stay as spoiler-free as possible. So if you have not seen or read any of the Mae Young Classic 2.0 spoilers, we're not going to talk about them. We will talk about participants. When it comes to the G1, we will talk about what happened today. So it is now 5 p.m. Eastern. If you haven't seen the final B block, match day 19 of the G1, I don't know what to tell you. It's magnificent. You should have done it. We're going to talk about it. So without further ado, bring on my tag partner for the next minute. Bree, how are you? Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Hi, Rich. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk about G1 and Mae Young Classic and anything else that comes up.
Yeah, so when last we chatted, what have you been up to? Is there anything, social media, you wanted to point to, or anything in general you would like the Torch listenership to know about your wonderful person?
Well, since we last spoke, I believe that was in February? So that was during the pre-mania hype, and it's kind of died down for a little bit. So I'm waiting for SummerSlam to really reignite my excitement for the WWE product itself. But as far as New Japan goes, and I mean, even though NXT is technically WWE, I am really, really, really excited about those two products. So if you all want to follow me, my name across all social media is at She's So Offbeat. That's SheSSOOFBEAT. And you'll just basically find me making shady comments about wrestling.
Now, I did see, and I wanted to make sure I asked you about your Titans. You had some thoughts on their preseason so far. So where do you think they're at?
It's honestly pretty average for my Titans. They're trying to work out the kinks of having a completely new coaching and a few new rotating players. But I'm overall really excited, even though we're kind of like a mini Patriot squad. Because we got that in the influx of Patriots players and coaches and our GM. So it should be interesting to see what we do this year. But preseason, I usually try not to get my hopes up because we've gone undefeated in a preseason and have only won 2 games in a whole season. So we'll see how the real season goes when it starts.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a good segue because the idea of getting hopes up. I mentioned all those fun things, and the one thing I forgot to mention is the hopes that have now been risen that there could be an alternative to the WWE in North America, as Ring of Honor and New Japan have sold out Madison Square Garden WrestleMania weekend. I know I was dumb enough to keep hitting refresh with my Honor Club code and almost didn't get tickets at all for the Honor Club day, but I was lucky to get the two I did. What were your thoughts when you heard about the Ring of Honor New Japan out, and what do you think that bodes for some of the talent that could be available at that time?
I think it's brilliant. It's always great to have competition, and we've seen from the years that WWE didn't have any true competition or any widely broadcast competition that they became complacent and the product became really stale. So I think this competition could not only boost some of the outside talent that's available on the indies, and honestly, I really don't consider New Japan and ROH the indies, but it could boost that talent and it could enhance their fan base, and it could also make WWE a little bit more competitive and maybe want to step their game up when it comes to their creative product, because it hasn't been so great when there hasn't been any competition.
Do you think that there's going to be a bit of an issue because, you know, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, potentially even the CEO of Ring of Honor mentioned that they potentially couldn't be on the show. So in good faith, they don't want to advertise them. Mm-hmm. Personally, for me, a show that has Okada, Tanahashi, Naito, Suzuki, and the rest of the crew coming to MSG is worth it to me. This is the first time in the 4 years I've been, or 5 years now, I've been going to WrestleMania where I'm not going to NXT. And it's because I've never been to MSG before, and I've never seen New Japan in that light. I mean, I went to 2300 Ritter, Swanson and Ritter, a couple of years ago, but never, like, Madison Square Garden. That's amazing.
Absolutely. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to bring all those people from New Japan over that usually when they come over, they're only in California. So, of course, seeing them in New York during WrestleMania weekend, and pretty much almost every wrestling fan who can be in the general vicinity of WrestleMania will be there. Like, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So, yeah, it's definitely worth it.
Now, are you considering going to All In? Or are you going to All In, I should say?
I am not going to All In, unfortunately. I had some prearranged plans for that weekend when they announced it. And I was like, damn, I can't go to Chicago. But I will be watching. I will be watching.
I'm not going to see it. Is there anything you're looking forward to so far from their announced matches?
Honestly, no. I really just want to see how everything comes across. Like, I'm really just excited for the idea that this came off because Meltzer challenged Cody on Twitter. And then we get the result of this show being completely sold out that us fans get to kind of mark out of and just see what happens. So honestly, I'm not really the match card. It doesn't really excite me per se. But I just want to see how this comes off. And I'm really, really excited and really happy that Cody and the Bucks and everyone at ROH and New Japan got to do this. So yeah, I really just want to see what happens. I'm excited. I'll have my popcorn ready for that one.
It's funny because I heard Dave Meltzer mention on his latest Observer radio show that he was basically very self-effacing when he was saying, because his co-host, it wasn't Alvarez, it was someone else, had asked, well, what's going to happen if Cody says next year All In can be at MSG and they can sell it out? He's like, well, I'm not betting against him. And it's really awesome to see Cody Rhodes the booker, in addition to Cody Rhodes the wrestler, grow so much in the time he's been away from WWE. I know
Absolutely.
You said – you're waiting for it to heat up a little bit. It probably could be a deep dive on its own, but is there anyone that you see that is currently on the WWE roster that you could imagine doing the similar sort of emergence? The only person that jumps out to me is Bryan Danielson.
Oh yeah, naturally. I mean, because he did it before. So,
right.
Just not so much on a grander scale, but yeah, Daniel Bryan easily. I'm trying to think. Anyone else? Maybe in the future and probably leaping ahead, but I could see Adam Cole doing something like this.
That's a good point.
I could definitely see him doing it.
And that's assuming they let him go, because he's a guy where, I mean, you can tell they love him. They've given him a stable. He's made Kyle O'Reilly more of a scumbag than I ever thought Kyle O'Reilly could ever be. I mean, gosh, if you listen to Torch Archives, Wade's been saying for years he's just that cute, plucky, baby face, try hard guy. And he's the little brother in the back screwing around while the gang members are like harassing somebody. And it's hilarious every time. Whether it's him doing air guitar with his belt and cutting himself, or just his facial expressions when things happen in the back, He's finding a way to be a goof without it being goof. That makes sense.
It absolutely, like, to me, Kyle O'Reilly, and I've always kind of described him as a, to some of my other friends, as like, he's like that kid who stayed up way too late past his bedtime and is kicking it. Like, see it in his face, in his mannerisms, and absolutely the way that he's wrestling. So yeah, Kyle O'Reilly is an absolute gem. He is my favorite member of Undisputed Era. So yeah.
Excellent. So let me just take a quick break, and when we come back, Brie and I are going to start talking to you guys, the listeners. So give us a call at 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345 here on The Deep Dive.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, NotSam.com. Wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week. With the state of wrestling, Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms, or get the premium version at Stitcher.com/NotSam.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive for August 11, 2018. Joining me today is Brie, a.k.a. She's So Offbeat on the Twitter. And you would notice that before I even gave away the fact that she was a Titans fan, she used the PC favorite Jeff Jarrett method of mentioning her Twitter ad. So definitely hop on that when you get a chance.
That's my hometown guy.
Yeah. Think of him in WWE now. It's basically an ancillary, like, Hall of Fame support guy. Are you cool with it? Because I know my Palm, who usually is on the show as well, there has never been a day that hasn't gone by where he doesn't see Jeff as a grifter. And so having you as like the yin to his yang is always.
Honestly, I think it was bound to happen eventually. So, so yeah, I'm happy to see him around and in the good graces of WWE. So we'll probably see him more. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a little bit more Jeff Jarrett. I've been inundated with it in Nashville, so it doesn't bother me any.
Now, have you all been hearing a lot about the Brian Christopher situation and stuff there, or is it kind of like not with media?
Actually, I did go back home during this past week anyway, and it actually was on the Nashville news, which it kind of surprised me because Nashville and Memphis are their own separate entities. And even though the Memphis territory was a huge, huge thing back in the day, anything Lawler related still gets reported all the way up in Nashville. So yeah, Brian Christopher's death was highly publicized in Nashville.
Wow. Okay. So that's good information to know. I was wondering, because I know sometimes nationally things can fall through the cracks, especially like Jerry I could get, but maybe not necessarily his son. So let's go to our first caller, and it's Mr. Kylan. Kylan, welcome always back to The Deep Dive, and what do you have for this week?
Thank you, Rich. How are you and Bree doing this week?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well. So, Rich, before we kick things off, I normally do not do this, but just to make sure our listeners are well aware that this is going to happen, I would like to issue a cheap pop for my upcoming co-host appearance with you in 2 weeks, we do a special deep dive into wrestler appearances on various TV shows.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know there are a couple that jump out in my head. Do you have any wrestlers appearing on TV shows ever stuck out to you?
Well, I have already started doing some basic research, so I look forward to unveiling my official findings with you when we're together in 2 weeks, but I think our audience will be very surprised and impressed by my final results that I come up with.
Excellent. And so just to let you know, Kylan, and listeners as well, I might move that show, if possible, an hour later, because I have a camp I have to run at school that won't get me back in town till closer to 7. And I wouldn't want to be in a situation where I'm on a school bus with 100 or so undergrads trying to do the deep dive. It doesn't end well.
Okay, well, that's no big deal to me. I'm glad you said something now, so I'll be prepared, but no big deal.
Excellent. So what do you have for us on this Saturday?
So, for my first question, we might as well go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off now before someone else was probably going to ask you and Bree this question anyway. What do you think will happen if Ring of Honor or New Japan loses any top names such as Cody, Kenny Omega, Naito, or any other top names that are either officially or unofficially on WWE's radar at this time?
I'll defer to you for Bree.
Honestly, I don't think that would be a problem, because wrestling is such a rotating door that even if New Japan, as much as it's been speculated that Kenny and the Bucks might be done after this year's upcoming Wrestle Kingdom, they'll just make a new start, or there will be someone who falls out of WWE and comes to New Japan or ROH, and they'll continue the work that Cody has done. So I don't see that as a problem. Actually, that would be kind of cool to see, just to see the chaos, just to watch the world burn a little bit, and just to shake things up. But yeah, wrestling is such a revolving door that either a new star would come along or a star would be made from either company.
And
interesting.
And I don't think... Oh, go ahead, Kylan. I'm sorry. I think, ultimately, the big names aren't going to leave because they know they have it. And so, Tetsuya Naito, I don't think Okada, I don't think Tanahashi. Suzuki's too old for WWE. I don't think he would leave either. So, if it's someone like maybe Jay White might leave. But even then, he's getting the push of his career as Switchblade in New Japan. Most of the people that might consider leaving are in places like your Kenny Omega, your Young Bucks, Cody more ancillarily because he's on the fringes of the Bullet Club with his time off. Adam Page might be someone that gets snapped up by WWE to prevent him hitting that 2019 Colin is going to be probably his best year as a wrestler. But like a Toronto, I don't think they'd get him. Makabe, I mean, Tomohiro Ishii is, if you could make an American version of Tomohiro Ishii, you would have so much going for you. And you also would have a dude that would probably fall by year 5 of his career. Because the people are built like Tomohiro. I think I always joked with friends, he started his career 6'3", and at this point he's 5'7", because of all the crazy stuff he's done to himself.
I totally agree.
What do you think, Kylan?
Well, I don't know. Well, maybe in some ways, although he isn't American, but I think in terms of style and the way he brawls during matches, that although he's not as good as Tomohiro Ishii, you might be able to say that someone like Sheamus would be a decent comparison to Tomohiro.
I would say part of it is the hard-hitting style, but with Sheamus, he's also a hulking, six-foot, mohawked Irishman. With Tomohiro, it's this 5'7 Japanese dude who looks like he's dad, and he will jack you up every time he gets in with you. Like Kenny Omega's match again 2 weeks ago essentially proved that you have to darn near kill that man to keep him down. Like Kenny kept doing move after move after move, and Ishii kept getting up. Heck, this match this morning with Sonata was the same, where Sonata, he was actually felt like he was being disrespected by Sonata not hitting him harder.
It's painful to watch.
I would agree with you. For my second question, since this was another one of the topics that you sold in areas that I needed to research for this week, with the possibility of Paul Heyman leaving WWE again after SummerSlam in a couple weeks, if Paul Heyman does not come back, what do you think Paul Heyman's quote-unquote wrestling legacy is, and who in today's wrestling landscape do you see closely resembling Paul Heyman's managerial or advocacy style?
That is a very good question. Can I answer the second part of your question first, because I know immediately who I would think of. To answer your second question regarding who could resemble Paul Heyman currently, my vote completely goes to Stokely Hathaway. If you all aren't familiar, please get familiar with Stokely Hathaway's managerial style. Like, he is a perfect blend of comedy as well as some seriousness while getting his clients, in air quote, over. So, yeah, that's the only person that I can think of currently who stands out as a manager on that level. To answer your first question about Paul Heyman's legacy, I think it's pretty much solidified. Great advocate for Brock Lesnar. Not much so for other wrestlers, dare I say. but brilliant with Brock Lesnar and what he's done for Brock's character in itself. So I don't think his legacy would be tarnished or diminished if he left after SummerSlam.
And I would echo the statements Bree just made about Stokely Hathaway, because he is hilarious and someone that I think if WWE gave you know, more emphasis, more thought into managers, he would be perfect. I would say, as much as people say Paul Heyman, he'd be perfect for Roman Reigns. Right when he wants to talk, Stokely would grab the mic and say, no, you don't talk for free. You are main event when you're with the money team. You do not give it away for free. And he has the mannerisms, the facial, every single thing about Stokely, depending on whether he's a face or heel, you either want to punch him in the face or laugh at everything he's doing. And the other person that can do a good job with that is, back in the day, and this is back in the, not back in the day, like 90s or something, this is like early teens, I really liked the SoCal Val Stables. I thought she did a pretty good job in a Alexandria York sort of way of having her athletes, I think eventually storyline-wise and Evolve, most of her squad was stolen somehow by Stokely. It's funny how that works. other than that, gosh, if he wasn't so freaking big, the MJF would be a great manager.
Yeah.
He's good in MLW as it is, even for as limited of a scope as MLW provides us at this time.
Oh, speaking of MLW, another group, and even though he's a wrestler, but I love the fact that he's created Filthy Tom Lawler. Team Filthy is very entertaining.
Very entertaining.
When I went to see Matt Riddle's Bloodsport, it was part of it was seeing him, part of it was seeing Riddle, part of it was seeing Suzuki. It was great to see Filthy Tom Lawler be a complete fool and back it up by choking people out. Yeah. Which makes me wonder how they're going to treat Matt Riddle when he gets to WWE, which is probably a whole different story altogether.
Well, before you guys get sick of me, I have one more question, and that is on the future of NXT TakeOver specials, since that was another area you said I might want to research, Rich.
Sure.
With Triple H attempting to scoop up as many pieces of talent as possible for a potential 2-hour weekly televised version of NXT, does that tarnish or damage the specialness of future TakeOver specials in your or Bree's opinion? Why or why not make your case?
What do you think, Bree?
I don't think that it would tarnish it at all, because if NXT went to 2 hours and it was still run by Triple H in the same way that it was, TakeOver is still currently run at 3 to 3.5 hours. So it wouldn't take away how special TakeOvers are treated. And also, they wouldn't be as frequent as those monthly shows. So it wouldn't diminish the value of NXT, it having a weekly product at 2 hours. It wouldn't diminish any of the TakeOvers and how special they feel, because we don't get them as often as we do the main roster pay-per-views.
And I think with 2 hours, it's fine. It's been fine. If they go to 3 hours, that's when it might get a little weird. But I think an hour and a half has been good for them. Going to 2 hours, that's maybe a match and a half. Maybe a segment, maybe they want to do an angle instead. But I think, like Bree said, if Triple H is the one putting it together, I don't have a concern. And with the roster they have, because remember, in addition to the main roster having how many people they do, there's over 100 people down in Florida. for the developmental. So they will find room. If people didn't think about the fact that we went a week without having, you know, was hurt, so he got beat up by the Undera. We go a week without Shayna Baszler wrestling. We can go a week without introducing the bevy of people they have ready to go, like Quino Janaka, that's Moose, Black Otaku on Twitter, who is doing a good job creating his role. I would love personally if Velveteen got an interview segment.
Oh, yes.
And I don't care if it's pre-taped or not and you air it in the stadium for the tapings or whatever, but if Velveteen had, like, Behind the Velvet Rope or something where he could just interview people and do like what he did with EC3, like that pool was, that was spectacular.
Genius. Absolute genius.
Well, Richard Bree, it's been a pleasure, but I think I now have to leave you before some other callers decide to wiretap my phone line.
Oh, it's all good. No one's gonna go nuts on you. Fine, my friend. But thank you as always. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and we'll be fired up to do it in 2 weeks.
I sure will. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for the question.
All right. That was Kylan from New Jersey. Always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania weekend, hanging out with him, have a little dinner, some station, and that was just great. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Bree and I will be chatting with you all, and definitely look forward to it here on The Deep Dive.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
All right, welcome to Deep Dive with Bree and Rich. Close shave there, not screwing our names up and going with a spoonerism. And speaking of close shaves, if you're out there and you're looking to prevent the onset of neckbeardus wrestling fanicus, I got a for you. Harry's is working with us here at the Torch. Sure, you have an opportunity to try out what they have going on there. Harry's stand behind the quality of their blades, but they know switching razors is a decision. So they created a trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/pwtorch. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features, and we all know unnecessary features with anything in life. They knew a great shave comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts, and that's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. I would say you can't buy that quality, but Harry's just did. Directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer the blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to four or more if you go to the streets. And they have a quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. So here's the deets. You can get a $13 value trial that comes with everything you want for a close, comfortable shave, a weighted ergonomic handle, five blades with lubricating strip or blade, a rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. But you must do this. Listeners of our show, The Deep Dive, can redeem your trial set at harrys.com/pwtorch. Make sure you go to harrys.com/pwtorch to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. So Bree, I'm a team beard. Usually I use Harry's to shave the under part of my throat so I don't wind up being that wrestling fan when friends choose.
You don't want to be a stereotype.
I don't. I really don't. That's why I work out. That's why I do my DDP yoga. No, they don't even pay for us here for that. So I'm wrestling, I do DDP yoga. That's why, I mean, heck, I joked with one of my players yesterday, actually 2 days ago, they were asking me, they're like, Coach, how old are you? Because I said, you know, I'm getting old for this in full Danny Glover voice as one of them tripped me and I fell. I was like, I'm 30. And they're like, what? You shave with 30. I was like, that's don't crack, son. And because we're in Northern PA, the school I coach at's in Northern PA, they were very like surprised I would say that, but such is my love for my kids that I will just to them one of the secrets that very few people know.
Yes, very few people do know that. I get asked my age all the time and everyone's shocked to find out that I'm as well in my 30s. I think, Rich, we're only, what, a couple of years apart?
Yeah, I turned 37 in May, and for me, and Travis is like 38 and claims he's like 32, so whatever.
Yeah, I just got asked the other day, like, what school do I go to? And I'm like, I'm 33. I don't go to school anymore. But thank you.
Oh, see, that's good. Yeah, my wife's in the same boat. She's 33 as well, and I'll say 34, glare at me, and I'm like, right, November 3. I'm sorry, ma'am.
That's
the joy. It's like for me, I don't know. I don't have a lot of the societal crap that weighs on women when it comes to age. For me, I always look forward to it because I always thought I was an old soul anyway. So I'm finally catching up to the age that my personality was. So whatever for me. Oh my God, that's amazing. I'm sorry, I just went full squirrel because someone, and I'm going to retweet it. This is what distracted me. This is what distracted me mid EW Torch.
Oh no, did you just find the object on me?
It was this, like, right when I was talking about my wife, wanted wife who will bring a sword to my biggest challenges in life. And it was Kensuke Suzaki and Akira Hokuto. I was like, she really does have a samurai sword in the ring. Like, my God, she is down for. Like, that's oh. I'm definitely going to do that this next Valentine's Day. Like, the best wrestling couples, they will be number one. I'm sorry, folks. I will accept no others. You could say Macho and Liz, but no. Those two, Power Warrior? No. That's where I'm at. It just blew my mind. I stopped being able to think after I saw that photo. Oh, wow. Okay, so I got an email. And you're a Titans fan, so what were your thoughts on the Grandmaster Sexay Steelers casket? I don't know if you saw Brian Christopher's casket.
I saw that. I thought it was a fitting tribute, and he was a Steelers fan, so I thought it was the fitting for him.
Now, how does that happen, though, Bree? Like, is it just the Memphis-Nashville thing where it's like, yeah, y'all got a team, I have the Steelers? Or was it just maybe because of age there wasn't – yeah, thinking back, it would have been the Oilers when he was younger, so it would have been the only thing.
It was probably both, to be honest, because when the Oilers came over – they were actually supposed to be in Memphis. And they played in the Liberty Bowl, and Memphis refused to build a stadium for them. So they moved to Nashville. And as much as we wanted the team to really be, like, for the whole state of Tennessee, it's really just Nashville's team. Sorry, any other listeners outside of Nashville. But it could be both. Because I have a lot of friends. Honestly, I grew up in a Niners household before the Titans came. And the Titans came when I was about, well, they were the Oilers for a while. So they came when I was 10 or 11 and then became the Titans officially when I was in high school. So I grew up around a lot of people who weren't immediate Titans fans.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I was the weirdo that grew up a Bills fan and took about a smooth 30 years to finally beat that out of me.
but look at you, you're strong and resilient.
Oh, yeah. I'm resilient. I mean, for me, I could go through a darn near 20-year playoff drought, but I wasn't going to go through them drafting a confirmed bigot as their quarterback and trying to play it off as he was just saying the words that he heard on the TV. I was like, ain't no way I heard Phil Dunphy say the N-word. It's like, okay, fine.
Right.
He grew up in a bad neighborhood. He didn't know anybody. He grew up in a 97% Hispanic high school in California. You're going to have to try harder.
Mm. Yeah, you know better.
Yeah, people telling on themselves. And it's like, hey, when they show you who they are, listen. It's
exactly.
People showing who they are. What I have another email. What were your thoughts on the Tongans during the G1? And thank you, Mike, for that.
Brilliant. Like, I always think that they're funny anyway. And they're, even though New Japan is trying to tone it down, I thought it was great. Like, Tama Tonga completely had me cracking up with his beef and air quotes with Roman Reigns and calling out the marks and everything. I just thought it was entertaining. I didn't think too much of it.
I really enjoyed
the,
with him and
going into the audience thing with the fan. I was like, okay, that's a little weird. But
I thought it was a plant or like a trainee that they just put in the crowd.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was just like a dude that he decided to yoke up. That was pretty scary.
He had enough. Tonga was fed up.
And then this morning, Tongaloa had a fan throw a bottle at him during their interference in the match that occurred. And he looked at the camera and said, hey, man, your time's coming. I got that bottle, and I know who you are. I was like, oh, sweet, gentle Jesus, why? Don't wait for fans after the show. Please, Tongans, calm it down.
Right.
What do you think about Hanare not being in the crew with them?
Honestly, I've been so preoccupied, I hadn't noticed as bad as it sounds.
No, that's fine. It's just really weird that, like, all the Tongans are together, and he's it's not my speed. I'm trying to win C block.
Right. I was just like, what? He's off to his own. So
yeah, he's off to his own, and, I'm getting warned that I'm going to deal with. Well, you better call up then, Craig, if you're going to have to be day drinking. I just got a tweet from Craig saying, the one deep dive I'm awake for, and Bree has to deal with my day drinking. But, well, don't day drink then. Sober up and talk to the woman.
Get some water.
Yeah, get some water, get some saltines, breathe. You'll be fine. You'll be fine, my friend. Oh, I got two more questions from Mike here. What are your thoughts on the potential of an Omega Ibushi rematch? And do you think they would be willing to put the title on Ibushi if Omega's leaving?
Yes, they would absolutely put the title on Ibushi if Omega's leaving. And I would love a rematch. Every time they've fought, they've always told a story. But this morning's match, it felt like they were fighting with love.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I get it completely. Like,
yeah, like they were really careful with each other, but they were competitive.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, it's like you could see how much they love each other during a wrestling match, and it was brilliant. So, yeah, anytime Ibushi and Omega fight, I'll be sitting there watching. Like, it's one of my stories, as the older people say. So,
yeah, I really enjoyed, like, they always have that adage in wrestling, the more you know, the better you know someone, the more liberties you'll allow them with your body because of trust. Someone on Twitter put up, you have to trust, like, the golden lovers, only the members would trust each other to do an avalanche tiger bomb. I was like, how?
Oh,
what? What are you doing? And I was worried they were going to reenact their last Budokan meeting with the Frankensteiner to the outside.
Ooh.
But I think even New Japan was like, listen, y'all, everybody's put together by spackle and tape at this point. And let's just let it sit. If y'all want to be crazy, right, do that in January if you get the shot.
But for now, it's just a G1. It's okay. Calm down. Like, don't hurt each other too bad.
Right. Like, oh my gosh. Ugh. And what were your thoughts on the G1 as a whole? Were there any wrestlers that surprised you? We've been doing the round tables like in chunks because there were so many days. And so breaking down match by match, we've come into the what attracted you. And so for you, were there matches that stood out or any wrestlers in particular?
Juice Robinson really surprised me. Like, mm-hmm. he stepped his game up completely during the tournament. And Sonata as well, even though he lost today. Mm-hmm. But those were the two newer standouts that I really paid attention to. Toru Yano, of course. And like you were saying earlier about Ishii, like, it's just amazing that he's literally still standing and wants more punishment. But of course, Kenny Omega is my favorite, period. So it was great watching him throughout the tournament and just seeing what he could do. And since he lost Dakota today, I mean, no spoiler alert or whatever. But
This is today. They got to deal with it. It's 5:45. If you're not watching it and you're complaining at this point, that's on them.
Oh, okay, good. But yeah, if he had to not get to the finals, I'm glad it was because of Coda. So, but yeah, it was a great tournament overall.
I really enjoyed it. I don't know if you saw it, like in the post fight press conference, they did it together.
Yeah.
And they're basically in like heaps, and then Coda was finally like, okay, we have to go. And they just staggered like up the stairs away from the that's where a couple of years ago WWE started doing post wrestling, like they did it with the Shield a couple of times. And I loved it because it's for the same reason.
Yeah. It was great.
It's just so good. Pro wrestling love, just amazing. But before we go too far, let me do our last break of the day. And when we come back, me and Bree are going to burn the mother down, word to Seth Rollins, here on the DF.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Bree and Rich. You heard from the main man himself, and toward the end, after we're done, you'll also hear a little bit about how you can become a VIP. Hear over 30 years of wrestling knowledge from Wade, Bruce, Jason, and all of the fine folks that work with me here at the PW Torch headquarters. And so when I last was talking to Bree, we were at G1, Kenny and Coda, but we also should give some credit to the other. They might not be golden lovers, but they were destined to fight forever in the annals of time. Tanahashi and Okada.
Hmm.
That match, I felt really bad because Tanahashi's statement pre-match that he felt even going into his last match where they defended, where he had the V13 title, he was no longer to Okada, and Okada was beyond him. The draw proved he could get there, but maybe not past him, but the points got him past. So it's a really interesting story they're playing there with Tanahashi, where age is kind of up to him, and Okada's kind of hitting his stride, whereas like 3 years ago, I remember watching that Wrestle Kingdom match with Okada bawling as he walked away, and Tanahashi basically mocking him.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about New Japan is their continuity. Even to call back the story from years ago and have them still make sense and still become relevant. So yeah, that was phenomenal.
Are you a big fan of draws?
I am not, but when they fit into the story, I can be okay with them. Generally, no, I want a resolution, but since this played into the tournament and also played into Okada and Tanahashi's story itself, I could deal with it. I could stomach it more than I would have if it weren't for anything. So
that's amazing. I mean, that's that to me, it's suck when Tanahashi's reached not necessarily Nagata class, but like the Nakanishi class where he's in the six mans and he's just there. I don't think he'll ever allow himself to be in that position. Him as the Nagata old vet that just shows up and is handling business is something I look forward to because I think he could play that well. And he's also doing it by doing so with Juice and my least favorite person, Yoshihashi. Him saying that he wants to make this new stable and finally, you know, in his career saying, I want a stable and including Juice Robinson and Yoshihashi in it. Like, that's very striking.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm just dumbfounded at the fact that he's wrestling Ibushi, and we could even go into a deep dive on that. For most people, and there's a couple of threads on Twitter you can see, I'll try to tag them to this after we're done. Ibushi sees, for those of you who don't know, Kota Ibushi sees Tanahashi basically as like wrestling Jesus. So he tested during a couple of years ago's G1 when he created Kamigoye, which literally translates into able to defeat God. He tested it out in his matches leading up to his final match with Tanahashi and used it on him. And so I'm always a fan of finishers, specifically for one person, because that's the top dog. Another great example is the FU when John Cena was the gangsta going against Brock Lesnar's F5.
Or yeah.
You look in New Japan again, you have the Destino as the counter finisher to the Rainmaker. It's so cool. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Ibushi Tanahashi bout, and what are you looking to get out of it?
I really want to see Ibushi win.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time, and I think it'll be another passing the torch moment for Tanahashi. So, yeah, I want to see Ibushi win and get something out of it because I don't think Tanahashi has anything to gain from winning. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm very, very excited to watch. Even if I have to catch the tail end of it, I'll still be watching.
Yeah, because it's going to be the butt crack of dawn. Yeah. It's going to be early. It's going to mess some people up. And before we get out of here, one last thing I wanted to a little bit, we'll go into detail because I think in October, I'm going to have you back. I'm going to have Ciara Reed and a few other knowledgeable women in wrestling to talk about what it means to you. But with the Mae Young, I don't necessarily want to, because obviously I don't want to spoil, but are there any wrestlers or wrestlers you would suggest people should get to know?
From the Mae Young Classic? Participating this year? Of course. I am a huge, huge fan of Jenny from Progress, and I was so excited to see her, and I'm so glad that she wasn't injured and that she could compete, because she was injured during the UK specials that they just had. So if you all check her out, please give her the time of day. She has grown so much within the past, I guess, 3 years that I've been watching her. Trying to think off the top of my head. Of course, there are the classics who were there last year, like Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez. And Toni Storm, of course, the people that I completely stand for. But also Priscilla Kelly is really cool. She was in Evolve, and she's growing. So kind of like watching her now and seeing what she'll be able to do in the future, check her out as well. And, of course, Ariel Monroe. How could I forget? I was like just really, really happy that she's even in there and we could see her, because I saw her actually do a squash match a couple of years ago at Raw against Nia Jax. And I was really impressed with her then. And I was just like, why isn't she signed? Or why isn't she in the NXT? Like, she needs to be here on TV. So, yeah, those are the few that I'm looking forward to. But I'm excited to see the tournament overall. Like, I am completely living. And plus, Caitlin's coming back, and I love her. Just on a personal level. Because I followed her in the fitness world, too. And she's a really, really cool woman. So yeah, I'm just excited to see it back.
I really like Caitlin because she wasn't afraid. I saw her as equal to Big E on the New Day, where they were really serious about their lifting, really serious about their athletics, but they weren't afraid to be goofy.
Right.
Like when she did the Chick Busters with her and AJ Lee, if there was ever a time to have had the women tag team championships, those would have been the perfect power combination to be tag champs.
Oh, that would have been amazing. None of this Sasha Bailey foolishness. Like, they would have been taken seriously, but also could have had some comedy with it.
And before I ask you another question, I would be greedy. I'm going to let Craig hop on. Craig, welcome to the deep dive with me and Bree. What you got, my man?
Hey, I'm really sorry. I didn't know there was an early start time on this.
Well, I had to move in an hour this week because my football team's doing a charity event, and I put in a tank at 6:50 or something like that. So that'll give me enough time after the end of this show to send it to Wade, and then 50 minutes
that's
up the road.
Really cool. That's really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point on Twitter or Instagram, my wife will have pictures of me soaked in fire truck water. So they won't look too happy because I hate dirty water, and I don't think fire truck water is going to be
as long as
clean.
I see your kid smiling, dude, kid smiling just fills my heart with so much joy. I don't mean to mark out for you, but
well, Trey has that effect on people, myself included. He is. But again, just like with a good pro wrestler, when you see him after the curtain's done and the lights are off and the picture's been taken, he's going to demand his, like, juice box and his time to play Caillou on the tablet. And you're going to be like, you're not the same. Yeah, but, you know, that's a deep dive for another day.
He's eventually going to stab you in the neck, yeah.
Oh, I mean, shoot. One of my players saw him yesterday, and he has the ability now, because he's tall and he's lanky. He reverse Frankensteined Melissa off our couch one day, and it was because he had seen Kota Ibushi during the Cruiserweight Classic. But now he's gotten to the point where in just one move he can jump up on the shoulders. He can't get me. It's kind of like the finishing sequence in the Kenny Omega match today. He can't get me over torque-wise. But so he'll just hang there, and I'm not going to spike my 6-year-old son like Kenny did Dakota. So I just try to lovingly pick him up and fling him onto the couch, which, don't worry, services, the couch is big, he's fine. I just want to make sure the views of Rich Fan do not represent TDH Communications or Wrestling Torch. All rights reserved.
Or Travis Bryant.
Oh, no, they represent Travis Bryant because he's the one. He's the
I really wanted to talk to Breach. It sucks that I got in so late and I didn't get the memo. Because of all the things that are happening right now with the women's, the Mae Young Classic, it pretty much got spoiled for me. By the way,
don't do it. Don't do it. We're anti-spoil, Craig.
No. I'm not doing it. I'm trying to protect you all.
Okay.
Unfollow Jazzy Gabbert because she revealed all that crap and I know all the crap.
Oh, Jazzy, why?
Yeah.
Why did she do that?
Well, it's because she was happy because one of her friends was successful.
Don't do it.
Or something. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Good.
I'm
just saying, Craig.
Sure
you're gonna be like, and that's when we found out that Tyara Conti won the Mae Young Classic. And then it's gonna be like everyone's gonna be flipping their lap, be like, "Rich, you will die. I don't want that on my life, man."
No, I trust me, dude. You know, like me in the G1, like I called off work last night to watch the G1. So I mean, I'm in the same bracket as you guys. Like, you don't want spoilers. You're anti-spoiler. But I wanted to talk to Bree because it's so rare that we have like someone we can actually talk to, like that can give a woman's perspective. And I wanted to know if she thinks that everybody is placating women. The way things are going right now, if she feels placated because of the way the tournament, I'm sorry, I missed the entire like base of your conversation, but the tournament, the Mae Young Classic, the Evolution, and everything like that, like I look at it like a celebration, but I've heard a few people talk about it as if it's the men placating the women, like, here's your thing. And I wanted to hear Bree's thing. I'm sure she already said it on the, you know, in the last hour or whatever you guys are talking, but I just found out you guys are. Bree, please help me.
No problem. Craig is my Twitter buddy too, so I'm pretty sure you've seen me say it, or at least say a little bit. But I don't feel placated per se. Maybe patronized might be the word.
Yes.
I think it's great that yes, we are getting, or not we, but the women in WWE are getting their own pay-per-view, and they're getting the Mae Young Classic, and I live for all of this. Like, this is phenomenal to me. But the patronization comes into where it looks like more so WWE is patting themselves on the back for doing it and mentioning it like, oh my gosh, did you hear? The women are... Like, it's like, okay, yeah, we're getting it. That's cool, but please stop. Like, like it becomes like a little weird when they keep doing it on Raw and SmackDown a week after the fact that it's been announced. Like, yes, we get it. It's happening. Cool. Just let it happen and let us flourish, or let the women in the WWE, because I'm not a woman in the WWE, let the female superstars just flourish and be great on their own. Like, stop patronizing them like they're kids and like, oh my goodness, you're doing such a great job. You're making history. Like to me, that's very strange. So, like, on one hand, yes, I'm happy, but the other hand, it feels like they're patting themselves on the back more so instead of just letting it happen.
Let me ask, Bree, do you feel that them patronizing you is more overwhelming, or anybody patronizing you or placating or whatever? I my words are all, I've been drinking, I'm sorry. do you feel that any of that is overwhelming your joy or excitement for this pay-per-view, or the Mae Young Classic, or anything that's going on right now?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because growing up as a wrestling fan, you've learned to kind of just deal with it and knows that's the nature of the business, so it hasn't taken my joy away from it. Like, I'm still excited, and I still want to see what happens. But you just, at some point, as any type of minority who watches wrestling, you just end up rolling your eyes at a lot of things. And it's just like, okay, fine, they did this, whatever. You know, let's just get past it. So as a woman in this situation, I'm just like, oh, all right, cool. They're really doing this to kind of get some press and some movement behind them. I just want to see what happens. So it hasn't taken away my joy and excitement for it. I'm really, really excited to see it. It's just that, you know, you just kind of shrug, roll your eyes, and move on to the next week and hope they don't mention it again.
I'm going to get off here right now, and I'm sorry I was, like, drinking and things all day, but I was looking forward to talking to you today and everything, and Rich, too. And I wanted to say, like, I'm going to be excited. And I'm sorry that, well, I'm sorry for anything that anybody has to deal with as like a repercussion for anybody trying to make any kind of progress. I've talked to a few people in the last couple of days, and it's just, I've dealt with a lot of heartbreak in the last couple of days for people that I care about. It's not a woman thing. It's a, it's mostly, one of the people I listen to like daily is a black dude. He had something really horrible said about him, and it just pretty much crushed me. I didn't mean to bring it down like that to end the show or whatever the hell, but you guys have a great night. I'm sorry.
No, Craig, no.
And thank you.
Wait. Hey, Craig, one thing I want you to know, regardless of whether you call in day drinking, day sober, night drinking, night sober, middle of the night, emails, whatever. I'm not kidding when I say in Twitter bio, joy is resistance, because I can tell you as a black dude, I can't speak to Bree's experience. I can speak to my own. As a black dude, I've seen and heard and had some crap happen in life, but I love pro wrestling. I love football. I love teaching. I love my jobs. And so I can have joy even if there are horrible people in the world. So for the people who, like, this last hour flew by because I got to talk to my friends about wrestling and I get paid to do it. Like, that's not a bad job, right? So don't ever feel bad about bringing real world stuff. That's really part of the reason why I'm kind of like meandering away from the NFL, because as much as it's really weird, as messed up as wrestling can be, like, there is a really good correlation between wrestlers and the GOP and things like that. There is an outstanding opportunity for a level of creativity for people of color that you don't see anywhere else outside of film. Like, where else are we going to get a Ricochet? Where else are we going to get a Big E? Where else are we going to get a EAM? Where else are we going to get who I personally love and hope they sign at some point? Because even from the days I was in the blue pants, I've been standing for her. There are so many good opportunities. It's just that now, and I heard Swerve mention this to Meltzer on The Observer, now you have an opportunity with him at world champion in MLW in the past. Him as a world champion in other promotions like Defy. It isn't that he has to be the first black world champion. He gets to be the cool champion that happens to be black. And there's a lot of power when you don't have to be the standard bearer. Like, a lot of people talk about, like, the Rock issue. And Sean was on last week, you know, saying he wished the Rock talked more about his blackness and less about his Samoanness. And it's like, you can't have one without the other if that's his heritage. And I say all that to say, I know, and that's why I try to do this with this show, I am a guy. And as I can't speak to women's wrestling, speak to what I see, but I speak. So if I have Breon, if I have Ciara on, if I have anyone else on that can speak to how it feels to them, that is a more valid opinion than me just saying, well, I think the women think this, because that's so patronizing and over the top that it's just, it's pathetic. So yeah, you didn't end us on a bad note, Craig. You ended us on actually a good note. And speaking of which, before we get out of here, Bree, again, if you could drop your deets, let them know where to find you. As always, you know, I love having you on. You're free. You're welcome back. And so, yeah, let them know where to find you.
Well, thank you again for having me, Rich. Again, everyone can follow me at She's So Offbeat. That's SHESSOOFFBEAT. So for all your shady, funny, thought-provoking wrestling needs and also music and comics and all that fun stuff, you can just follow me there.
And just to let you know, I haven't forgotten about the Wicked and the Divine Roundtable. I'm waiting for, like you said, for it to finally end. I just bought books 4, 5, and 6. So I'm going to jump into those
cool.
This weekend because I've been reading it. I got the first 3, sent them to Travis. He completely blew me off. So he'll be the, you know, the neophyte to the group. Cam will moderate. You'll be the expert because you've read them. And that's the one thing. If you look at Breeze, in that cover sheet there, you see one of the main characters in Wicked and the Divine, which is a phenomenal. If you want another suggestion, read The Wicked and the Divine. If you don't like comics, but you like pop culture, or you like religion, or you like mythology, it's got everything.
Oh, yeah. It will tug at your wig, even if you don't have one. So please read it.
Perfect. Well, you have the rest of your weekend, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you again, Rich. I appreciate it. I look forward to next time.
Perfect. Now, y'all know that was some greatness there. So I don't even have to tell you. As always, I will tell you the same thing. I'm stealing it, right? I didn't realize I was stealing it, but, you know, part JR, part All Might, go out there, dive into something new, give yourself an opportunity to go beyond what you think is possible, plus Ultra. Till next week, here are some words from the main man himself on how you can become a VIP, avoid ads like the ads that were featured during our live cast, or how you can get into some of the finest commentary this side of pro wrestling's world of journalism.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Livecast! Livecast.